Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here once again on a wonderful Sunday morning. Prayer is important. We're not going to talk about prayer specifically this morning, but you can always, we always pray or should be praying for one another. If you need prayer after service, I have to scoot out, but Elder Rob and Joe are here this morning. They come up and you can be prayed for, laying hands on and pray before you leave today. And then also take time to download the app on your phones. There's a prayer wall on there. You can ask for prayer requests. Others can note that they're praying for you. And then we have a prayer line that you can just send an email in, and then we take that. And we also try to, when we get together, pray for the different things that we see on the prayer walls, the prayer apps, and so forth. And we could be praying for one another. So I just wanted to make sure we always remember that we have these opportunities to pray for one another. And if you need the elders to pray, we are always here to pray for you. What is today? Sunday, Memorial Day. Ah, yeah, see? Pentecost. Especially those who got the notification on the app this morning. It is Pentecost Sunday. 50 days after Jesus what? Rose, right? 50 days. 40 days he was with them. He told them to go, gave them the commission, and told them, go, but wait. Go, but wait. Go, but wait. Go, but wait for what? The promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. The Holy Spirit was already living within them at that moment. But at that time on Pentecost, he would be poured out upon them to give them the power they needed to do the work that they were left to do. So we're not going to talk about Pentecost this morning, but we are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. In my experience, and I'm speaking now as a Christian for many years, as a pastor for many years, among Christians, one of the most misunderstood subjects is the Holy Spirit. Even amongst Christians, it's very misunderstood, the Holy Spirit. I know it's my responsibility as a pastor, as a teacher, to ensure that we receive the full counsel of the Word of God. And that includes, obviously, this subject that is not, there's not many more subjects more important than understanding the Holy Spirit. So this morning, let's learn a little bit about the who, what, where, when, and whys, okay, of the Holy Spirit. Let's jump into the who and the where. First, who is the Holy Spirit? And I know most of you will say, well, I know that, that's pretty easy, but I find even amongst confusion, sometimes there is a little bit of a misunderstanding. First of all, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, just like Jesus did not come into being in Bethlehem that time, he always existed, so the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that, oh, Holy Spirit's a new thing, well, he'll come upon the church that day. No, the Holy Spirit always was. He's not. I'll tell you what he's not. So we can kind of do the who and the what here. The Holy Spirit is not a what. He's not a mystical force. He's not just an impersonal power, as some may not necessarily say he is, but act that way. The Holy Spirit, they kind of use this, the Holy Spirit, he's kind of force or power, that, in other words, impersonal, just to come and do certain things. No, the Bible tells us very clearly that the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. He's a divine being. He is God. He has a mind, emotions, a will, according to the Word of God. He is the third person of the Trinity. Now, those designations, first, second, third, they do not denote ranks, if you will, and they do not, indicate superiority or inferiority. That's how we kind of, look at that as the persons of the Trinity. But they're the equal Godhead. They are one. And the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. Right from the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word for God there is plural. It's Elohim. It's a plural in the Hebrew. God, singular, but plural, denoting that there's three persons in the Godhead. Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us, see, God, singular, let us, plural, make man in our plural image after our plural likeness. One God, but in three persons. the Holy Spirit is God. There's probably no clearer text in the Bible than Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira are being called into judgment because of their lying to the church and misrepresenting what they did in selling that piece of land. That when Peter says to them, he says in judgment to them, he says, "You not lie to us, human beings, you've lied to God," meaning the Holy Spirit. "You didn't lie to us, you lied to God, the Holy Spirit." He said, "The Holy Spirit said, you lied to God." So he is God. He possesses the characteristics of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, we see the omniscience, knowing all these things, right? The omniscience of God in the Holy Spirit. "These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit." The Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, searches all the things, even the deep things of God. Why can't he know the deep things of God? Because he is God, right? "For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God," or the Holy Spirit of God. And it's interesting, we can also answer some of the where questions in regard to the who questions, because as we see, just as he has the characteristic of omniscience, knowing all things, he also has the characteristics of being present at all time. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 8. "Where can I go from your Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit? "Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." The Holy Spirit is where? Everywhere. The Holy Spirit is who? God. We could even touch on a when question. When did he exist? Always. It wasn't God the Father giving birth to God the Son, giving birth to the Holy Spirit. No, it is God. Always existing. So let's sum up the who. He is a divine being. He is God. He is part of the Trinity. He is equal to the Father and to the Son. He has a mind and emotions and a will. I'm not going to turn to these references today, but I'll mention them if you want to look at them later. The Holy Spirit thinks and knows, 1 Corinthians 2:10. The Holy Spirit can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, Romans 8:26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit makes decisions according to his will, 1 Corinthians 10:7 through 11. So the Holy Spirit is God. I want to touch on the why a little bit now, just for a little bit. Not why does he exist, because that's the same question as why does God exist? And, God always existed, and, one day when we get to glory and we'll understand things, understand things a lot better when we're in glory and he opens up our understanding that way. Maybe we'll understand a little bit more about how God always was. That's just amazing, but he is. It's not that why I want to touch on, but I want to touch on the question as to why the Holy Spirit is important, not only to know about, but why is he important in our lives? See, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would play an important role in the life of the Christian, both before and after we're born again. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. "And I," Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So he says, the Father will give you another comforter. It's amazing. If we were doing Bible study tonight, I would take the time to really break this all down. But we recognize that when Jesus told them, and he'll tell them more directly later, that it's good for him to go back to the Father so the Holy Spirit would come. When he talks about another, it's not something different. It's the same as him. In other words, Jesus is not saying, "Well, I'm going to send you something like me or someone like me." No, I'm sending me just in another way to form. And listen to what this Holy Spirit would do. The world can't receive him because it doesn't know him. But listen to this. Neither knoweth him, but you know him. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, to the disciples. It was before the cross. And they were not born again. That would happen after he rose from the dead. They were not born again yet. But he says to them about the Holy Spirit, for he dwelleth with you. See, the Holy Spirit, while Jesus was on the earth, was dwelling with the disciples and others. People that he came alongside to help them to understand the things that Jesus was teaching them. Just as he does the same thing today. He was with them there when Jesus was giving them words. He was with them. He was alongside them. He was alongside them. He was there. It was an important part of his ministry, even at that time, to come alongside the people. He was with them, and then he says, and shall be, in other words, future, in you. Do you understand the difference? He was there. Why? They needed the Holy Spirit even back. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is all through the Old Testament. When the Spirit of God came upon David and others, he came upon them to do the work. He didn't come to live within them. He came upon them and empowered them for the work that God had called them to do. And in many ways, that's what the Holy Spirit was doing again with the disciples, even while Jesus was with them. He was with them, but he would become to live within them. And he comes to function as one who would lead us, as he does today, and guide us into truth. To help us to understand the things that Jesus speaks to us. But he comes now to live within us. To be the comforter. To be the counselor that Jesus promised he would be. If you do not have the Holy Spirit living within you, you're not his. You're not saved. You're not born again. At the moment you are born again, he comes to live within you. And when he comes in, he comes as the comforter. He comes as your counselor. He comes to do all these wonderful things. Let's talk a little bit about the what does he do? What does he do? Well, again, in the life of the believer, he is called the paraclete, the helper, the one that comes to us, to aid us in the things that we need to do. You and I cannot live this Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. He is a paraclete. He indwells us, and when he comes in at the moment of salvation, when we repent of our sin and by faith receive the finished work of Jesus on the cross, when we are born again, he comes to live within you, and you know what the Bible says? He seals you. He puts the stamp on you, property of Jesus. My child. He seals us, and the Bible says seals us until the day that we are redeemed, the day of redemption, till the day Jesus calls us all home to be with him. We're sealed. You know, you can't break God's seal. Do you know that? When we're sealed, we're sealed. When he comes to live within you, you're sealed. He guards and guarantees us who are saved as he indwells within us, and he assists us in times of prayer. He intercedes for us according to the will of God. The Bible says that we don't always know, in Romans chapter 8, how to pray as we should pray. But the Holy Spirit will aid us in our praying because he knows not only what we need, but he knows the mind or the will of the Father. Aren't you glad that when you pray, the Holy Spirit's there to help you to pray? He regenerates us. He renews us. He lives within us. He gives us the power we need from the moment again of salvation. In fact, Jesus told Nicodemus pretty much that. You know, you must be born again. The born again experience is the Holy Spirit who comes alongside you and starts to help you to understand the things that the Scripture says about Jesus. But when you open yourself and say yes, he comes to live within, and he fills us with joy to live in a hostile world, with power to do the work we're left here to do, to have joy and peace even through times of great turmoil in our lives. He gives us that peace, and he gives us, if you will, an overflow of hope. And one of the most important things that he does above all these things, and it's all included in the above that I just said, is not only does he come and at the time when we're justified, when we're born again, does he not only seals us, but then he sanctifies us. sets us apart and helps us to grow in this Christian world. He sets himself up in our lives against the desires of this flesh. How many know that the biggest problem we have in our Christian walk isn't so much our enemy that's in this world or even this world system, but it's the one we look in the mirror as our flesh. And the Holy Spirit helps us to deal with the flesh as we learn to die to our flesh. Our flesh always wants to rise back up, but the Holy Spirit will set himself against the desires of the flesh, and he helps us to live a life that is righteous, a life that is pleasing to God, a life that is different than the dictates of this world. And you'll find as you walk with the Holy Spirit, as you understand what Paul wrote to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that when he, even as an apostle, struggled in Romans, you know, chapter 6, I want to do the right thing and I don't always do it, and then I don't want to do the wrong thing and I find myself doing that. Oh, what a wretched man that I am. He says, who can save me from the body of death? He said, but there, listen, but when you walk according to the Holy Spirit and not your flesh, then all of a sudden you find yourself being more likely to do the things you're supposed to be doing, to live a life that pleases God, to live a life that stands in contrast to a dark and dying world. The Holy Spirit will do that in us. And as he does that, the more as you walk according to the flesh, and not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the more you walk according to the Spirit, then the things of the flesh in your life, in my life, will become less evident. Ah, I could never deal with this because, you know, I'm just always, you know, angry and this and stuff. Guess what? The Holy Spirit can help you with that, and he will if you let him. Oh, you don't understand this desire, this thing or that thing. Well, no, I do, because, you know, the things that we deal with are common to all of us. But guess what? If you yield to the Holy Spirit, he will help you to deal with those desires that are not godly. But not only to where you feel like, oh, I just have to just grin and bear it. He'll now teach you a path of victory over it, and a place of joy and peace as you overcome these things of the flesh. That's why the Bible tells us as Christians, we're commanded actually in Ephesians chapter 5 to be filled with the Spirit. The word in the original language isn't just that time of just, okay, I have the Holy Spirit living with me and I'm filled with the Spirit. It means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We have to yield. We have to die to self and yield and say, Father, fill me afresh. Fill me anew with your presence, with your power, with the Holy Spirit. For Lord, I cannot do anything without you. But I can do all things, Jesus, through you who gives me strength. And we're given strength by the Holy Spirit of God. He also, the Holy Spirit, he gives gifts. Now, how many of us know that we were all born with some types of talent? Naturally, when I say naturally, but from God. How many know that? Do you know? Oh, yeah. I was teaching on this one time, and two or three people in the class kept wrinkling their faces up, and afterwards I said, what was wrong? And they said, I have no talent. I said, yes, you do. I don't have any talent. I said, yes, you do. I don't sing, they said. I don't draw well. I don't dance. And then I said, well, what do you do? Oh, I really clean well. I said, that's a talent. I said, it's a much-needed talent. It's a good talent. And the other one said, well, you know, I do this. Well, I cook. I said, that's a talent, because I've tasted some people's food. They don't have the talent, you know. It's a talent. Who's that come from? God. But the Holy Spirit comes, and not only we have the gifts that we're born, I mean, the talents we're born with, but he gives us gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He distributes them to whomever he will. And if you're a born-again child of God, I will guarantee you by the authority of the Word of God, not just by me saying that you have gifts from the Holy Spirit. Probably more than one, but at least one. And just like sometimes you don't recognize your talent, many Christians do not recognize the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are within them, because we do not allow ourselves to walk in that realm of the giftedness that he's given us. Ask him to show you. Step out in faith in certain areas. You'll find areas, believe me, you'll find areas that you're not necessarily gifted for. But you'll also find areas that you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And he gives it to you as he wills, in his wisdom. So he promised us the Holy Spirit. to come into the world and be the paraclete, the helper to us. But he also promised the Holy Spirit to come into the world to do a work in the world, which I'm going to get to in another minute here. But he said that he would have the Holy Spirit come into the world to convict the world of concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I'll get to that in just a moment. The Holy Spirit also working through the church is what is keeping the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world at bay. Now, the Holy Spirit, again, being God, always existed, is always present, but he works uniquely within the church, and as the church lives out our duties, if you will, our existence as the church, and we're supposed to be primarily in this world, what? Salt and light. If we're not letting the light shine into this world and we're not being salty, both in the way of giving people a thirst for Jesus, but also retarding evil, Jesus said then if we lose our saltiness, we're worth nothing. But we can be both salt and light by the Holy Spirit working within us. But there is coming a time when Jesus calls his church home to him, that the Holy Spirit will still be in the world because he's God. He can never not be in the world. But as he's uniquely operating through the church as salt and light, it will be removed. And that's why we see this time of tribulation will come onto the world, because the Holy Spirit now living within the church is retarding the evil and shining light into the dark places. But when the church is removed and the Holy Spirit working through us is removed in that manner, then evil will rush in. And that's why when you read the things that happened during that 7-year time of tribulation, the horrific things that happened, you understand it now. The Holy Spirit working through the church is no longer restraining the evil. And it rises. I believe myself today, this is more of my personal opinion, though I believe I can back it up with Scripture, that much of what we're seeing in the world today as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ is because much of the church has become lukewarm and has lost its saltiness, and we're not shining the light of Jesus, and evil is invading and penetrating in areas it never did before. How quickly are things taking place today? Evil things taking place today. I don't want to get into that. It's not part of the message today, but think about this. That's because we're losing our saltiness. Doesn't have to be. We're not letting the light shine, but the Holy Spirit restrains evil. So the Holy Spirit will come into the church. As I said before, he comes and he knows the things of God. I hope today that as we're hearing this message that we're not just learning a few things, but we understand that Lord, help me to want to be full in the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. And I'll touch on this and then bring it all to a close in a moment. Jesus said in John 16:8-11, he said, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you'll see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. See, Jesus said the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, and the primary sin that he convicts the world of is, you know what? Unbelief. Because all other sin, no matter how heinous, can be repented of and brought to the foot of the cross and be washed away by the blood of Jesus, but unbelief cannot. And that's what ultimately is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's denying the work of the Holy Spirit. His primary work is to point people to the cross, to say, here is the way of salvation. Here is the only way of salvation. And when you reject that message of salvation in unbelief, you have no other recourse. Because there's no other way under heaven which we can be saved. So he shows them their sin of unbelief. He shows them the sin of righteousness, because Jesus is the only way, meaning he came into the world, the sinless Lamb of God, died upon the cross, rose again on the third day, and it was proven that he was the Messiah because he was taken back up to the Father. The Father accepted the righteous sacrifice. Again, that's the only way. There's no other way. But he also lets the world know that judgment is coming. And it's an interesting thing today that we read so many non-Christian polls that are out there, that people by and large say something's coming. There's like, they even use the words like judgment's coming. And these are people that are not church people, people that don't have necessarily an understanding of the Bible. They sense it because the Holy Spirit is letting them know it's time to get ready. There's judgment coming, and the only way to get ready is to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. Holy Spirit. See, I always want to teach, and teaching and preaching are a little different. Teaching, we take more time to tear it, you know, break it down and look at all those different things. When I preach, I want to teach too, and there's some teaching going on this morning, but my primary responsibility is to give us this in a way of exhortation, to bring a word today that would hopefully help us to recognize where we stand in all of this. See, because you came to faith by hearing the word of God. And the Holy Spirit was one who inspired the men of, you know, to write the word of God. And others carried that message even to this day of the word of God. And they carried in the power of the Holy Spirit. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. And no amount of yelling, screaming, finger pointing, cajoling, human convincing, human effort can ever bring somebody into the kingdom of God. Only the Holy Spirit is the one who can do that. And he operates amongst us and in us. But the question today is, first and foremost, you have to say to yourself, well, look, well, do I understand truthfully the who and the what? Yeah, he's God, the Holy Spirit. Do I understand the where? Yeah, that he's God, then he's everywhere. But more importantly, where is he in your heart? Because if he's not there, you're not his, and you need to be saved. But if he is living within you, then you can say, well, then why, Lord? And then you can realize today by this word that the Holy Spirit was showing, that Jesus was telling us the Holy Spirit had to come, because he said there's even things I can't tell you until the Holy Spirit comes, that he gave us the Holy Spirit to aid us in this Christian walk and to do the work that he left us here to do, to be a witness. So why? We can't do it without him. But there's one W I didn't touch on until just now. When? See, if you're here today, or someone you know that you'll share this message with here, or you'll direct them to the website later and they'll go listen to it online, or check out the other website where we go live stream, you know, you can look at that, and they're going to hear, and if the Holy Spirit, who was working on their heart, is knocking on the door of their heart, you know, and asking, they're going to realize something. They need to make a choice. And the Bible says that that choice of when is now. When you hear the gospel, it always has an emphasis of now. The when is now. When should I be saved? Now. And if you are and you have received that message, and I pray that people today through this would come, the Holy Spirit would point them to Jesus, they would repent and be saved. And if you do that, or if you're here today and you share this message with other Christians, and you say, well, what's this idea of when? The when is, wait, I need to be filled of the Holy Spirit now. He lives within me, but I want to be filled with his power and presence. I want to be hungry for the work of the Holy Spirit in my life to make me more like Jesus Christ, to give me the power that I need to not only live in this world, but to be a bright light and a whole lot of salt, so that those who I encounter would see something different in me and want to know what that difference is, and that's Jesus Christ. So the when is now. Martin's going to come up. We're going to play a song, I think. He has one. He always does. But I pray that you would allow the words of the scriptures today to touch your heart. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, come up. There'll be those up front. Rob and Joe will be here to pray with you. Others will be here to pray with you. If you are a Christian and you just say, listen, I just want to pray together that I would be filled today with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, because I heard I should be filled every day, then come up. Come up together and pray with one another, for one another, because when they were there on the day of Pentecost, you know what? They were with all one mind, and they were all with one accord. And you know what happened as they prayed? The Holy Spirit in power was poured out upon them, and they went out of those doors, and they turned the world. The world says upside down, but they were turning the world right side up. Lord, let it happen with us. Father, thank you for your word today. that we would live in the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you knew, Lord, not only could we never save ourselves and the Holy Spirit comes to point us to Jesus, but Father, once we're saved, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this Christian life and to be a witness for you. So today, Father, would we be hungry? Would we be hungry for the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives? Would we pray for one another? I pray for those who have not yet received Christ, that today the Holy Spirit would point them to the cross and they would repent and be saved. And I pray for the church that today would be the day that we commit and recommit ourselves to being filled with the Holy Spirit's power every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.